Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. The Old Testament book of Jeremiah and chapter number 1. The Old Testament book of Jeremiah and chapter number 1. We have started a brand new series of Jeremiah with the theme of it, the weeping prophet to a backslidden nation. And all throughout the book of Jeremiah, even though it does deal with the idea of the destruction of Jerusalem and Jeremiah warning over and over and over, you see the heart of God throughout it, that no matter what is going on, God's great desire for his people is to return back to him, return to him. He wants them to come back and to adore God, to come back and pay attention to God, to go back and worship God as their God. And throughout this series, even though we deal with the idea of depressing and things and destruction, that this is not a depressing series. It is an encouraging series because we have a God who's sitting on the throne who still loves us in the midst of all the heartbreak and all the calamity that we cause. He still loves us. And as we start the book of Jeremiah, it's appropriate that we start at the beginning. Remember, the book of Jeremiah is not in chronological order. It's in canonical order. There was a reason why God placed it in that order. But for the purposes of this series, we are going to go through chronological order, meaning we're going to go through how it happened in time. And so there are going to be times that we're going to be bouncing from passages to passages. One time we may be in chapter 9, and the next thing you know, we bounce to chapter 22. And that's because we're trying to hit it in the way that it happened in history and building up to the major event of the destruction of Jerusalem. And so if we're going to start in the way that it happened in time, we have to start to the call of Jeremiah. That Jeremiah being called of God to be a special prophet, an instrument in God's hands. And we find that recorded for us in the book of Jeremiah chapter number 1. The book of Jeremiah chapter 1, and notice with me in verse 1. Jeremiah 1:1, the Bible says this: "The words of Jeremiah the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. And it came also in the days of Jehoiakim the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send to thee, and whosoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and a face thereof is towards the north. Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdom of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judea. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, whom have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worship the works of their own hands. Thou therefore gird up thy loins, and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For I have made thee this day a defense city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find at the beginning of Jeremiah chapter number 1? Jeremiah chapter number 1, and notice with me, and verse number 5. Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 1, notice the phrase, I knew thee. I knew thee. And with the Lord's help, I'd like to preach a message about the call of Jeremiah with the title, I knew thee. I knew thee. And if you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And thank you for the great privilege of allowing us to be here, to open up this Bible, to be able to start this brand new series. And I'm so excited for it. I'm just asking, Lord, that passion would come out, that excitement would come out, and that these good folks would also be looking forward to this series as well, and that you would change lives through the series, that you would help us to see you high, holy, and lifted up. As we approach this specific message, I'm asking, Lord, that we would understand about more about who you are, that you are a wonderful God who knows each and every one of us. You know our passions, our likes, our dislikes, and you know what you have in mind for each and every one of us. Lord, help us now to understand about the calling of Jeremiah and be able to apply it as we see you for whom you truly are. Once again, I recognize my need of you, that I have no power of myself. And so the best I know how, I surrender myself to you and beg that you fill me with your precious spirit. And that once again, you would get your own work accomplished through your precious word today. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. When you begin to study the prophets and begin to study how they became preachers, how was it that they began to obey the Lord, you would notice that all the prophets that have it recorded start with the same place. It all begins with God. In Isaiah chapter 6, you see Isaiah at the time of King Uzziah died, that he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And when he saw the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, he saw God for who he truly was. Then he saw himself as he truly was. Then he recognized the work for what it truly was. You understand that a God called preacher is always going to start not being called by mama, not being sent by daddy, but being called of God. And that it is something that God says, you look at me. And they look and they said, you are God. And God says, this is what I want you to do. You understand the call in anyone's life begins with God. If you want to find out what does God have for your life, it starts at the same place. It begins with God. You have to go see him high, holy, and lifted up, and be surrendered to whatever he'd have you to do. That's what Isaiah said, here am I, send me. God wasn't even speaking to Isaiah, but Isaiah said, here, you need someone to go, I'll volunteer, whatever you'd have me to do. You understand that God does have a plan for everyone's life. And as we look at the book of Jeremiah, and we see in this passage here the call of Jeremiah, we understand that it started with Jeremiah looking at the Lord high, holy, and lifted up. If you don't mind, let's start as we explore this passage here, and we're seeing what God's calling Jeremiah to do. I'd like to show you first about God's appointment. God's appointment. Notice with me as we pick up the passage, the first couple verses are introduction, speaking about Jeremiah and the length of his reign. Remember that Jeremiah preached for about 40 years. He covered 5 different kings. And at this time, Josiah is in his 13th reign. Remember, Josiah started to reign at 18. If you add 13th year of his reign, you get the approximate age of Josiah, about 21. So Josiah is 21 years old. He's already cleansed out the temple. He has already found the book, and they've been obeying the book. And Josiah is a godly king. And one of his best friends was Jeremiah. So here's a godly king who is a young man. And you have Jeremiah, who is also a young man, who's now getting the call of God. Notice as God pulls Jeremiah aside and he tells Jeremiah some things about Jeremiah. Notice with me in verse number 4, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, Jeremiah, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Think about how powerful that statement is. God pulls Jeremiah and says, before you were a twinkle in your daddy's eye, I knew everything about you. I knew what you would like. I knew your hair color. I knew your personality. I knew thee. He just didn't know about Jeremiah. He knew Jeremiah. He knew all about Jeremiah before he was even born, before he was a twinkle in his daddy's eyes. He knew Jeremiah. Notice something else in verse 5. It says, before I, God, formed thee. You understand that you didn't happen by accident. You may be a surprise to your mother and father, but you were not an accident. God formed you. God is the one who made you. God is the one who allowed you to go from 2 cells joining together, and then those cells splitting, and those cells starting to become bones and heart and liver and skin. That God is the one who watched over. He's the one who formed you and fashioned you. He made you. And because he made you, let me tell you, he owns you. And because he owns you, has every right to do with whatever he wants with what he owns. But he also knows everything about you. He knew what color hair you originally had, if you don't have your original color hair. He knew what eye color you had. He knew whether you like broccoli or cottage cheese. He knew everything about you. He knew you, and he formed you. And so he's taking Jeremiah aside and says, son, I want to tell you some things. Before you were a twinkle in your daddy's eye, I knew who you were. I want to remind you that, Jeremiah, I'm the one who made you. I formed you. Notice something else he tells him in verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. He says, before you were even born, I had a plan for your life. You understand that God has a good, perfect, and acceptable will for everybody's life. There is a reason why he formed you. There is a reason why you were born. You were not an accident. He didn't say, oh no, what am I going to do with this guy? God had a plan for your life. He has a plan for every life that's ever conceived. He has a desire for each and every one of them. And God says, Jeremiah, I had a plan for your life. And the plan for your life is that I desired for you to be a preacher. And I have a plan for you. You understand that there are some things that you cannot change. There are some things that you did not get to pick. For example, when you were a little baby, wherever little babies are at before they are conceived and born, God didn't say, hey, who do you want your parents to be, right? Some of you would have said Bill Gates or something, if you had the choice. You didn't have the choice of who your parents were. You did not have the choice of where you were going to be born. Man, I can't believe I was born so-and-so. You didn't get a choice of when you were born. Some of you'd feel better back in the old West with all the technology and stuff. Some of you'd be better back in the old days just in the cabin and stuff. Some of you enjoy the technology. But you understand, you were not given that choice. God made the choice for you. He chose who your parents were. He chose where you were going to be born. He chose when you were going to be born. And let me remind you of something, that God makes no mistakes. that God has you here for this time and this purpose for such a time as this? That God has a plan for your life. He has a desire for your life. He has a good, perfect, and acceptable will for your life, just like he did for Jeremiah. Notice as he goes on, now he's being specific to Jeremiah again, and God says, I got a plan for you. Notice with me verse 6. Then said I, that's Jeremiah, oh Lord, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. And when this idea of a child here has the idea of a youth, a young man, he says, who am I? I'm just a little kid. I'm a whippersnapper. No one's going to listen to me. I have no experience, no life experience. I haven't grown up yet. I'm just a child. Notice as God answers that objection in verse number 7. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shall go to all that I should send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou will speak. God says, I don't want to hear any excuses. I've got a plan for you. You understand that God knows what he's doing, and God doesn't make any mistakes. That if God called someone to the mission field, he did not make a mistake. If God called someone to preach, he did not make a mistake. That God knows what he's doing. And that he puts you in a certain time and he just says, I want you to obey. No excuse, no reason why you can't obey. If God has placed it in your path, he will equip you with whatever you need. We just have to obey. Now notice he's being specific and God's appointing. He said, I set you aside for my use. This is some of the things that I want you to do.
In California, you might.
Notice if you don't mind, in verse number 8. It says, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. You know, that is actually a very powerful statement. You know, even a preacher in a friendly church like this, and I consider you friendly because most of you are not against me from what I understand. But you know, sometimes looking at your faces, I have to preach anyways. You understand that some of you have the expression like this. That's good. I like that. Some of you have the expression like, some of you have the expression like this. But you know what? I have to preach anyways. You understand that whether people look like they're all spaced out or whether they're all with me, I still got to preach. You still got to do. It doesn't matter the reaction. You understand that if God has specifically made you to go soul winning, there are some times their faces may not reflect what you want them to. Not everyone's going to be happy that you're giving them a gospel track, but we're to do it anyways. You understand, we're just supposed to obey what God gives us. It doesn't matter the reaction to people, because we're not preaching for people, we're preaching for God. We're trying to be obedient to God no matter. Now, we'd rather have everyone before us. It's a lot easier to preach when everyone's for you, but even if they're not, we're still supposed to obey. We're still supposed to do what God has given us to do. Notice as God goes back and answers the objection that Jeremiah had before in verse number 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I put my words in thy mouth. Basically, he said, you don't have to worry about figuring out what to say. I'm giving you the words to say. Just here. You tell them this. You understand that when we preach the word of God, just as a thing about preachers, I don't have to come up with a message. You understand what weight that comes off? I don't have to preach my own thoughts and my opinions. I just preach the Bible. I just preach God's word. That makes it easier. I don't have to come up and figure out what a message I'm supposed to preach. I'm just supposed to preach what God's told me to preach. Just preach his word. And that's what God told Jeremiah. He said, don't worry about what to say. I'll give you the words to say. And don't worry about their faces. You preach anyways. And you keep going. But Jeremiah, I've got something for you. Notice as he's still God's appointment. He's appointing Jeremiah. And he's calling Jeremiah to be a special preacher. And he says, don't worry about what their faces are. Don't worry about the words. But he says, let me tell you what's going to happen. Verse 10. See, I have this day set thee over the nations. Now, can you imagine being told that? Jeremiah, you are going to preach against and over all the nations. Guess what? You're going to be the prophet that preaches for all the nations. You're going to be the prophet who's going to be over kingdoms. So basically, he's saying, you're not going to have a small ministry. You're going to have a big ministry. I've got big plans for you. And you are going to preach to kingdoms. You're going to preach to nations. Guess what? You are going to root out and pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Man, that's exciting stuff. That's going to be a lot of adventure. And that's not going to be very popular. And it's not going to be very well received. But he's going to be used to do God's work in a lot of different ways on a national basis. Now, again, he's a young man. How would you like to be told that your preaching is going to impact nations? A little bit of weight there, don't you think? But God says, I got special plans for you, boy. I got special plans for you. I have an appointment for you. Not only do we see God's word in this call of Jeremiah, but we also see God's word. Not only God's appointment, but God's word. Notice with me in verse number 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Now, what a rod of an almond tree is, a rod is a different way of saying a branch. So God says, Jeremiah, what's the first thing you see? He says, I see a branch of an almond tree. And God says, good. Verse number 13. Verse number 12, then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen. He says, you've seen exactly what I was wanting you to see, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Now you say, okay, I saw a branch of an almond tree. What in the world is that? Well, in the Israel area, the Palestine area, the almond tree is the very first tree to bloom. It blooms in January. And so what he's telling them is that Jeremiah, because of the word I'm giving you, because of you obeying, this is going to be a picture of the awakening of revival. He says, I want you to start with you, Jeremiah, that revival is going to hit your heart. And from you, I'm going to want you to preach. And you are going to be used to be the first segment of revival. You understand the whole thing of what God wants to get accomplished is to bring people back to him. What is revival? It is God's people getting thoroughly right with God so he can pour out his spirit. God is going to be working through Jeremiah, not only for his time and space, but you understand this is a good book for revival in our own hearts, to bring God's people to the place where they're thoroughly right with God so he could pour out his spirit. And he says, Jeremiah, what do you see? Well, I see a branch of an almond tree. He says, there it goes. He says, my word's going to do it. It's going to be the first part of revival. Then he tells him again, verse 13, and the word of the Lord came unto me a second time, saying, what seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is towards the north. So God says, all right, now what do you see, Jeremiah? He says, I see a big pot, a big cauldron, kind of like a big, back in the old days, they had that big old pot that you would put in the fireplace and you would let it boil and stuff. And he says, the face of it's towards the north. So he got this big boiling pot. Notice what happens, verse 14. Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north, an evil. Now this is going to be the Babylonians. Shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come. And they shall set every one of his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against the walls thereof, round about and against the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, who have burned incense unto other gods and worshipped the works of their own hands. What is happening is that God says this boiling cauldron, what it is that this is a picture of my judgment. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to pour out my judgment upon those people who say they're supposed to be my people, but instead of worshiping me, they've worshiped other gods. They've worshiped things of their own hands. They've turned their backs from me. Instead of turning to me, they've gone to wickedness. He says, I'm going to pour my judgment upon them. That is what's going to happen. So Jeremiah is called. God says, Jeremiah, I want you to preach. And you're don't look at their faces. You're going to preach anyways. And I'm going to use you to affect nations, to affect kingdoms. He says, Jeremiah, I want to tell you about my word. He says, what do you see first? I see an almond branch. He says, that's right. You're going to be the one who's going to be used to bring revival. Jeremiah, what do you see? Well, I see this cauldron, this boiling pot. And he says, that's right. And he says, I'm going to pour my judgment. You understand that revival and judgment of God often go hand in hand. They all begin at the very first spot they begin is at the same place. That's the house of God. We saw that on Wednesday night. You understand that God has a plan, and it's going to begin at God's people. And so we see God's appointment. We see God's word. But one last thing in the call of Jeremiah is God's protection. God's protection. Notice with me in verse number 17. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. So here it says in verse 17, gird up thy loins and arise. Now, gird up thy loins. Remember that there was a difference between men and women's clothing, even in the Middle East, even today. And that men's robes were allowed to be picked up at the very base, and they were able to pick them up and tuck them in into a special belt. And what would happen is that this will allow the man to be able to run or to be able to do the task. And so whenever you see it says, gird up your loins like a man, or you'll see that phrase like a man, but that's what it has the idea. It says, man up. I want you to be a man. You gird up your loins like a man and you do what I tell you to do. He says, I want you to be a man, Jeremiah. And don't you worry about their faces, because they're going to give you all kinds of expressions. I remember once preaching, and there was some people sitting in the pews. They're preaching with their arms crossed, with a face like, bless me if you can. I dare you to bless me. Well, I got to preach whether they do it or not. I remember preaching in 7 different services. We had the same lady get up and walk out in the middle of my message. 7 different times it happened. You understand? Preaching anyways. I got to do it not because of the people. If I preach to get expressions from people's faces, the messages would probably be a lot different. I have to preach in order to please him. And God's telling Jeremiah once again, don't preach to their faces. Don't regard their faces. Don't try to make them happy. You preach my word. Don't look at their faces. They'll discourage you. You keep going. Verse 17, thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I commanded thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land. Now here he says, all right, Jeremiah, you're going to be preaching an unpopular message, and not a lot of people are going to like it. Don't look at their faces. You preach anyways for me. He says, but Jeremiah, as long as you're preaching for me, I'm going to make you a defense city, a city with walls that people cannot breach. He says, I'm going to make you an iron pillar, something that's not going to be able to be bent, as long as you keep doing it for me. I'm going to give you brazen walls against the whole land. I'm going to give you this protection. I'm going to protect you, Jeremiah. I know the message isn't going to be popular. They're going to threaten. They're going to hate you. But you preach anyways. He says, notice this, that I'm going to give you protection against the whole land, against the kings of Judah. Now, how would you like to be told that day one, all right, Jeremiah, I'm going to call you to preach. And guess what? No one's going to like your messages. The kings that you're serving under, they're going to hate your message. But I want you to preach anyways, Jeremiah. You understand that God's a great God and tells people right off the bat it's going to be hard. He doesn't try to sugarcoat it and try to say, hey, you know what? You got an easy life. He's telling them right away it's going to be hard. And guess what? The kings of Judah are not going to like it. Guess what? Against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof. Not only do the kings of Judah are going to hate it, but the princes, the nobility, the people in charge, they're going to hate your message, Jeremiah. Think Jeremiah's getting encouraged yet? He says, guess what? The kings of Judah, they're going to hate it. The princes thereof, they're going to hate it. Against the priests thereof, the religious establishment, other preachers are not going to like your message. You need to preach anyways, even when the religious environment starts attacking you. He says, guess what? Against the priests thereof, against the people of the land. Guess what, Jeremiah? No one's going to like your message. No one's going to pat you on the back and say, good job. No one's going to say, man, you really encouraged me with that message about destruction. No one's going to come up and say, preacher, I'm so glad that you pointed out my sin. He says, Jeremiah, you're going to have to do it for me and not for them. I'm letting you know before you even start. You understand that Jeremiah is going to preach for 47 years. And God told him right from day one, guess what? No one's going to like your message, but you do it anyways. Why could Jeremiah do it? Because his eyes were on the Lord. His calling came from God. He was doing it not for the money. He was doing it not to get popular. He was doing it not to have everyone be his friend. He was doing it because this is what the Lord told him to. And he was in love with the Lord. Notice as it goes on in verse number 19. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. You know what the secret of Jeremiah was? Is that he was never alone. God plus one is always the majority. Even when it seemed like everyone was against him, as long as God was with him, he could face him. As long as God's presence was right there, he had him. As long as God had his back, he could face the people. You understand? That's the secret of the Christian life. To be able to do what God has called you to do, you're not doing it for the approval of the pastor or for the people. You're not doing it for the approval of the community. You're doing it because this is what God has given me to do. And I'm trying to be pleasing to him. And as long as you're right with the Lord, God will be with you. And if you know God is with you, you can face whatever storm. But that's the secret. You have to know that God's presence is with you. God's presence solves it all. You understand that Elijah stood before King Ahab. And he says, as I stand before you in the presence of God. You know what he was saying? He said, Ahab, I may be standing right here before you, but I'm also in the presence of God right now. That's how I could stand. I know you want to kill me, Ahab, but guess what? I'm with God. You understand, as you study every preacher of the Bible who was used in a major way, you will see the idea that they are standing in the presence of God, that God has given his presence. And by the way, this is not regulated just to preachers. Anyone who does God's work, you need God's presence in your life. And as long as you have God's presence, you will have the boldness needed to pass out the tracts. As long as you have the bold presence of God, you will have what is needed to be the parent inside of your home. You understand, there are some people today that are more afraid of their kids than what their kids will turn out to be. You understand, we need God's presence to do God's will. We have to know that God is with us. The good thing is that God knows you. That before you were a twinkle in your daddy's eye, God knew all about you. And before you came forth out of the womb, God had a plan for your life. You are not an accident. God has a purposeful intent. And you are here at this time, at this place of history, for a specific reason. And God wants you to know his will and to do his will. And it may not be popular, but the way that you are able to go on is when you know that God is with you. Jeremiah, for 47 years, was all by himself, him and the Lord. And that's how he was able to keep going. How are you going to keep going when it seems like everyone's against you, when it seems like everything's falling apart? You need to have the presence of God to be able to continue to do what God has given you to do. You have to have him. I must have Jesus. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer
with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.